Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. It is Easter Sunday. Amen. Amen. And we are here to celebrate Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to Taylor. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have our scripture. It'll be coming from John 20, 19 to 23. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and someone will see to it that you have one. Amen. Scripture, John 20, 19 to 23. Can we stand? Amen. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we praise your holy name, O God, for yet another blessed Sunday service, O God. We come before you with thankful hearts, full of gratitude for the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. We are grateful today, Lord, for your shed blood that covers us and forgives us for our sins, O God. Thank you, God, for keeping us safe through this past week, O God, from hurt, harm, and dangers, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, for you are worthy of our praises, O God. Hallelujah. As we gather this morning with our loved ones and fellow believers, O God, fill our hearts with praise to rejoice in the victory, knowing that your sacrifice for us will always live in our hearts for what you have accomplished on the cross, O God. Help us to always remember the power of your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Renew our spirits, O God. Restore our hearts, hallelujah, and our health, and heal our broken hearts, O God, and wounds, hallelujah. Plant a seed of hope in our hearts, O God, to always trust you, Lord. Remind us, hallelujah, of your unconditional love and your sacrifice, O Lord, how you love us in spite of ourselves, O God. Give us a repentance heart, O God. Help us, O God, hallelujah, to carry the joy of this Easter, O God, not just for today, hallelujah, but every day in our lives, O God. Thank you for your eternal gift, O God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You conquered the grave, hallelujah. He conquered the grave, hallelujah. For he has risen, hallelujah. He is risen, hallelujah, hallelujah. He paid it all on the cross for us, O God. Hallelujah. Our God has risen, hallelujah, hallelujah. But God so loved this world, hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten Son, hallelujah, that whoever believes in him, hallelujah, shall not perish, but have everlasting life, hallelujah, that is eternal life, hallelujah, through our God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah, bless our pastor this morning, hallelujah, as he brings a word for us, oh God, and bless everyone that's here and over the sound waves, oh God, hallelujah. Fill our hearts with hope and renew our spirits, hallelujah, with your love. Hallelujah. All these blessings we ask in your name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Give God some praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We serve a risen God. Hallelujah. He is no longer in the grave. Hallelujah. I thank and I praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for this Easter Sunday, oh God. This resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 He conquered death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm eternally grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I think Zaya was supposed to know. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So at this time, we're going to have our YLE, the children come up, and they're going to bless us with a sermonic selection. Hallelujah. All right. All right. All right. Give them some praise, y'all. Come on, liven up. God is good. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, Taylor. Praise the Lord, Taylor. All right, now let's encourage our kids. We're not up here often. All right, now.
In the sunrise, at the waking of the day, when the song we celebrate new beginnings, and in the springtime, when the flowers fill the trees and the grass is growing green, I can see him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is goodness, he is grace. Every day, every hour, I'm surrounded by his power and his peace. Hallelujah, he is risen for me. In the colors of each sunset in the sky, as it melts into the night, hope is given. And in the promise of the fading of the moon, that the dawn is coming soon, I can see him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is goodness, he is grace. Every day, every hour, I'm reminded of his power and his peace. Hallelujah, he is risen for me. In the sunrise, at the waking of the day, when the songs we celebrate new beginning, and in the springtime, when the flowers fill the trees and the grass is growing green, I can see him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is goodness, he is grace. Every day, every hour, I'm reminded of his power and his peace. Hallelujah. He is risen for me.
Amen. Hallelujah. He has risen for me. Amen. We thank God for that beautiful selection from our children. And at this time, okay, all right. So at this time, we're going to give Zaya a moment to take her coat off. And she is going to come up before us and give us the monthly scripture. Amen. Let's give a hand for Zaya. Amen.
I can say it now. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans
3:23. Amen. Good God. Amen. Amen. All right. Now at this time, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. It's word time. Amen. So we're going to have Pastor Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. God bless him.
Let's put it somewhere I don't step on it. That's a little too close for comfort. I hope nobody's watching. But no, thank God. Come on, let's give our young people a hand. Not sure what your history may or may not have been, but for me, that's how it all began. Began reciting Easter pieces, began singing in youth church, youth choir, all that good stuff. And I can say that it was good for me. You know, I didn't fall short. I didn't miss out. It was good for me. And so, thank God for our young people. Hey, they said it's words time, so let's turn our attention to the Word of God. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the 17th chapter, the Gospel of Luke. You've been with us throughout this month. You know, I've been preaching on a series called It's Your Duty, right? Taken out of Luke 17, and today we're going to continue with that series. Luke 17, I'm going to go verses 20 to 37, kind of close out to the chapter. And we're also going to add to the witness, staying in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 13, verse 35. So happy to see all of your wonderful faces on this Resurrection Sunday. Again, Luke 17 and 20, that'll be our primary text. Mark 13 and 35, it'll be there that will add to the witness. That we might consider what the Lord will say unto us. Amen. Before I delve in, I do want to again acknowledge the wonderful Good Friday presentation by the Scott sisters. Come on, let's give them a hand.
publicly, loudly, what a wonderful, wonderful job. They did a great job handling the Word of God. And so I want to thank them for that. Okay, so here we go. Luke 17. And here you go. Here's a funny story. I don't know. You may not think it's funny. I thought it was funny. So Easter Sunday, coming to church and all that. And I get down here and I realize I forgot my Bible. Now, to you, that may seem like a small thing, but for me, it's a big thing. Because anytime you work with something consistently, you miss it when you don't have it. I like my Bible. I know how it works. I know how to read it. It's my Bible. Now, yes, I got plenty of Bibles down here. And so I was like, man, I can't believe I came back here. Of all Sundays, Easter Sunday, I don't even have a Bible. So, but I had a plenty of Bibles, so I got a Bible. But of course, the font's all small. I can't read it. Different translation. But nevertheless, the Word of God, is in my heart and here before. And it's also in your hands. Wonderful thing. You know my style. I love for you to have the Word of God, right? So you can read it. You can check me. Like, yeah, that is what the Word of God said, you know, not just what the pastor said. So we thank God for you. Come on, let's give my father-in-law a hand. I know he's like, oh, don't call me out. Mr. Samuels is here. Anytime I can preach in front of my father-in-law, it's always a real pleasure. Hey, Luke 17 and 20. It says he was demanded of by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. That's what he's saying. He said, neither shall they say, look here or look there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where it is. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or go there. He said, but do not go after them nor follow them. Right? They were going to play on their loneliness and say, oh yeah, Jesus is back in Galilee. Jesus is back down by the Jordan. He said, nuh-uh. He said, I've told you exactly how it's all going to play out. You ain't gotta go for the okie doke, right? He said, for as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. You know how when lightning strikes, it lights up the whole sky? So that regardless of where you are in the city, when it lightnings, what? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows, because it lights up the whole sky, right? That's what he's saying. He says, when I come back, he said, everybody's going to know. It won't be a secret. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in your Bible. He said, but first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. He said, in Noah's day, they ate and drank, and they married wives, gave in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. They partied up to the last hour. They had it going on. And then what? It started raining. They didn't even know it. They were going. He said, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, drank, bought, sold, planted, and built. But on the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back home. He encouraged them to remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in the bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and one of them shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, this is an important question because it helps you unlock what he's talking about. He asked this question. Now again, he's just saying his whole example, two, one taken, two, one gone, two, one left, right? So they asked it makes sense, this question. So look what they asked him. And they asked him and said, where? You keep saying they're taken. Two together, one gone. Two together, one, where are they taken? Where are they going? What? They're trying to understand what he's saying, right? Perfect question. And he gives the answer. Here it is right here. This is the sermon. Wheresoever the body is, there will be eagles gathered together. Are you with me? Good, good. Like Kirby, the only honest person in the church. I said, you with me? You got it, Kirby? Shook his head. No, I. Good, good. That's the job of the preacher. To what? Explain the text. So now, that's the answer. But we got to work it out so we can all leave here understanding what Jesus is talking about. Can we do that? If you're with me, say I'm with you. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to study your word. You encouraged us that in all thy getting, seek to get an understanding. So we open our hearts, our ears, our minds, and Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes that we might see. And open our understanding that we might perceive the things of God Himself. Let it be a mystery to the world, but cause it to be revealed wisdom unto us that believe. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Work with my frail gifts, my frail abilities. Amplify it by and with the power of God. Let the hearer be challenged. Let the sinner cry out, I want to be saved. Cause the backslider to say, here I am. Lord, save me. This is our collective prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And all of God's people say, amen. You may be seated all over the church. It's your duty. It's your duty. We began the month out by teaching that it was our duty to forgive. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. We followed that up on last Sunday by explaining to the church that it is our duty to be thankful, right? It's not optional. It's not
If we feel like it, we do. If we feel like it, we don't. No, it's your duty. Have a responsibility. We have an obligation. And in like manner, as we close out, it is our duty to watch and pray. It's our duty. Not like if you feel like what, no, it's your duty, right? That's what Luke 17 is all about. He's talking about this is our duty, responsibility, our obligation to him. It's your duty to watch. It's our duty to watch. In the Bible, that word watch means to be alert, attentive, vigilant, especially in the face of potential danger or a significant event. Are you with me? Is it up on the big board? That's the sermon right there, right? Oh my goodness, thank you, Holy Ghost. None of y'all said nothing. Turn to Luke 13:35 and just add to the witness. We've got to bring the witness in. Mark, thank you. Now y'all decide to say something. When I needed y'all to say, Pastor, we need the witness now. Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Whether it be at evening, midnight, at the cock crowing, or some point in the morning, lest come and suddenly he finds you sleeping. Right? Here's the sermon right here. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. That's Jesus speaking. In my Bible, that's in red. That's how I know these are the words. Jesus said, what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to any and everybody who will hear. It's your duty to watch. This is in the Word of God. You can't say, oh, that's just the pastor's sermon. No. This is the Word of God. He said, I'm saying to you what I say to everybody. Watch. Right? And so again, that word watch means to be alert. It means to be attentive. Right? It also means to be vigilant, especially in the face of potential danger or a significant event. Right? Look at somebody and tell them you got to watch. Why? Because something is about to happen. Right? Right? And if you fool around like the folks in Noah's days or in the days of Lot, you're going to miss the move of God. Simply because what? You weren't watching. You were busy, but you were busy doing other stuff and not watching, right? Here it is. So now here we go. Let's jump into it. Verse 20. Get back over here. So he starts out by saying, the Pharisees came to him and said, show us the kingdom of God. That's what they said. What they're asking him, they were asking him, we've seen all of these miracles, we've heard all of your great teaching. When are you finally going to set up shop? Stop moving around. Stop going for, when are you going to come, preferably here to Jerusalem, seeing as though we're all Jews, and set up your kingdom? You've been talking about it. You've been preaching about it. You've been healing those and telling them about it, right? So what they're saying is, Jesus, stop talking about it and be about it. That's what they're saying. Are you guys with me? Do you guys know Ebonics? Last Sunday, I preached in 7 different languages. This Sunday, I'm preaching in 2, English and Ebonics, right? They were telling Jesus, stop talking about it. Be about it. do you.
That's what they're, this is what they're saying to him. Right?
So this is what Jesus said. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Are you with me? Can't be seen. So let me work that kingdom, because that'll clue you in. That word kingdom refers to a country, a state, or any territory or area ruled by a king or a queen. Are you with me? Every step of the way, Kurt, I'm just giving you a building block. I'm building it up, right? You got to watch. These guys want Jesus to set up his kingdom, right? So we got to understand what the kingdom is, a country, a state, or any territory, right? Or any area that is ruled by a king or a queen, right? Secondarily to that, and it's up on the big board, that word kingdom, and then here they just finally bring it down to where it is. The spiritual reign or authority of God. You guys with me? A kingdom. Jesus, set up your kingdom. Set up your reign or your authority. Prove to us you are a king, right? And Jesus says, in response to their question, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He never denied he was a king. He never denied that he was establishing a kingdom. He simply said, you can't see it. Anybody know why you can't see it? They failed to watch. They weren't watching for it. They were watching for something else, but they weren't watching for the spiritual reign of God himself. The Pharisees believed that the Messiah's triumph would be immediate. They were looking for Jesus to take immediate action against Rome. They were looking for him to come, overthrow Rome, and set up his physical kingdom. However, Christ's program was altogether different. He was inaugurating an era in which the kingdom of God would be manifested in the rule of God in men's heart through faith in the Savior. Did you catch it? Again, they were looking for a physical force to confront Rome. But rather what Jesus was doing, he was inaugurating an era in which the kingdom of God would be manifest in the rule of God taking place in men's hearts as a result of faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? I'm so far down the road. If y'all not with me here, you're not going to catch me, right? I'll be down. I'll be finished, and y'all be way back at the start line, right? You got, cause what? It's your duty to what? Watch for what? For the kingdom of God, right? It's closer than you suspect, right? But watch this. But it's not what you suspect. I wish I had a real church. Romans 14:17 says it like this. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but rather righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Right? Righteousness, peace, all things that take place where? Inside a man's heart. Are you with me? Here it is, 22:23. Let's look at it. Jesus says to his disciples, the days will come. You will look to see me, but you shall not. Right? Jesus saying, boys, we're getting down to the wire. My time is coming, right? My hour fast approaches. The singular purpose for which I was born into this world, he said, my hour is at hand. Now, I've already told you what it was, right? So there's no surprise, nothing kept you out of the blue. And he said, as a result,
after it happens, you are going to miss being with me. No more fish by the seaside. No more miracles in Galilee. No more boat rides together. Right? Just a little while, all that stuff is going to be over. Right? And as a result, you're going to miss me. Look what he says. And the people shall say to you, look here or look there. But Jesus said, do not go after them or follow them. Folks are going to come around and say, oh, Jesus is back in Galilee. Folks are going to come around next Passover and say, oh, Jesus is back in Jerusalem. He said, that's not what I told you. All right. I already told you that after I suffer where I'm going, it's not New Jerusalem, nor is it Galilee. Right. So watch this. Don't be deceived. Why? Because it is your duty to what? Watch. You don't watch, they'll deceive you. Why? Because you're not alert. You're not attentive. You're not vigilant concerning the things of God's kingdom. And just like that, they'll catch your attention. You'll end up going the wrong way. You'll be going the wrong way, and here's the sad part, you won't even know it. Are you with me? Here it is. Now, verse 24, let's look at it. He says, for as lightning, that when it flashes under one part of heaven, you can see it all the way to the other side of heaven. So it shall be in his day. As a strike of lightning illuminates the entire sky so everyone can see, so will the second coming of Christ also. Everyone will know it. Right? Won't be a surprise. Not going to catch any. Everybody going to know what's going down. Are you with me? Here it is, verse 25. We're making good time. Keep going. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. The kingdom of God. But first, him, the Savior, must suffer and be rejected of this generation. It was the sovereign plan of God for Jesus to die on the cross as a substitute for sinners. Right? That was by God's design. Right? Look at somebody and just tell them, you know, nobody killed Jesus. Nobody killed Jesus. Here's the word of the master. He said, nobody takes my life. I wish I had a real church. A real church that say, Pastor, we're done with it. He told them straight out, no man takes my life. He said, but rather I lay it down, and to prove that I have authority, when I'm ready, I can pick it back. Oh my God, I'm finished with it. Either you know it or you don't. I don't have time. You're not watching anyway. So here it is. It was his plan for him to die on the cross. For sin. Mark 11:31 says it like these are the words of Jesus. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and he will be killed. And after 3 days, he shall rise again. I wish I had a real church. Here it is. This is why I love what the Scott girls did on Friday night. When they did their presentation from the perspective, what's so good about Good Friday? Because when you really look at the facts, it wasn't a Good Friday. They laid out the chronological order of the suffering endured by the saints. So what makes Good Friday good? Here it is. It's a good day whenever in a day you can, I can, we can obey the word, will, and way of God for our lives. Look at somebody and tell them that's a good day. Even if that day involves suffering, even if that day involves heartache, it's still a good day because I've done the will of good God. Look at somebody and tell them it's a good day. It's a good day because the Holy Spirit has empowered me to do what the Word of God has told me to do. And as a result, it's a good day. Drawing from my extensive hip-hop background, one of my favorite songs growing up was by the illustrious Ice Cube. And this is how Cube said it. Cube said, today was a good day. Why, Cube? Because I didn't have to use my AK. That's how it was in East Los Angeles in the early 90s. He said, that's how I determine a good day. Whether or not I have to snap off my AK. But you and I as believers, I'm telling you, it's a good day when you can open the Word of God and set your heart, your mind, your body, that I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me to do. Come hell, high water, I'm going to do what God... Whatever. It's a good day. It's a good day. Even if it involves suffering. What looked like the worst day to you and I was the best day Jesus ever had. Because he did what his Father commanded him to do. You know what he did? He did his duty. That's all he, when you see that, you don't see God jumping up and down. You don't hear the angels in heaven start singing. Because all he did was what? His duty. That's how it is for you and I. When we live according to the Word of God, we're simply doing our duty. Look at somebody and tell them, do your duty. Here it is. Here it is. We're almost there. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also be the days of the Son of Man. Isn't it funny how history repeats itself over and over and over? If you live long enough, you'll see what? You'll see it come back around. I'm just waiting for bell bottoms to come back. It has to. Why? Now you know I'm a prophet, right? You don't have to go tomorrow at work. Say, man, my pastor's a prophet. He called that bell bottoms thing before anybody was talking about it. He said they ate, drank, married, went on down the road. He said, likewise, in the days of Lot, ate, drank, bought and sold houses, planted and built vineyards. They carried on like it was just another normal day. Watch this. Like so many of us. You know what impressed me about the Scott girls? And I'm glad she gave her testimony. The presentation was good, sound. I mean, they put the word. But this is why, did you hear her testimony? She said, of all the weeks, this was what? The worst week. Right? Car broke. Water heater out. And yet the pastor wants me to teach not any Friday, but a good Friday service. Right? But what I believe she realized, that even when life seems chaotic, out of sort, and not going the way you want it to go, if you just stick to the word of God and do your duty, God has a way of getting all of the glory. You may not get it. It may not be your day. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We should.
I gotta quit. Here it is.
In the case of both Noah and Lot, judgment. Hear that word. Judgment came quickly. Destroying people in the midst of their everyday activities. None of the things cited by Jesus, eating, drinking, buying, selling, getting married, were inherently sinful or evil. But people were so absorbed in the things and cares of this life that they were utterly unprepared for when the time of judgment came. Are you with me? Judgment came swiftly, and in each case it came severely. And so it will again when Jesus returns the second time. You hear what I said? If you didn't get your shout or praise in by now, there is a high probability you won't for the rest of the service. Because this is where the sermon takes a downward spiral. Whether you realized it or not, what Jesus was talking about was judgment. Noah, out of all the people on the face of the earth, only him, sons and their wives, survived. The entire face of the earth suffered judgment. The entire population of both cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, wiped off the face of the earth. The only ones saved were Lot, his family. Abraham said to the angel of the Lord, but if we could just find 10 in the city, would you spare it? Couldn't find 10. Out of a population of 2 major metropolitans, couldn't find 10. Why? Because they failed to watch. They were just like you and me. Worried about what we're going to have for Easter dinner. Worried about the clothes being washed. Worry about the rent that is due next month, next on the first. Just every day, we had got so wrapped up. Here's the damning thing about Noah. Judgment's coming. One, Noah preached a long time. They said, Noah, sick, just preach. And here's the thing. He preached one message. I always tell people the challenging thing about preaching a long time in the same place to the same people, it gets tired after a while. Because the reality, we're preaching the same message. So that's why you see me as a preacher, I get creative. And I put my preaching assistant to work. Just to what? Make it interesting for you. Because even after all of the theatrics and everything, at the end of the day, I'm preaching what? The same message. Right? So that you would come back next Sunday, I put stuff up and you act all crazy. But the end of the day, it's the same. Noah preached 600 years and he preached the same message. So you got that against them. Then, when we preach, we tell them about the Savior. When Noah preached, he showed them the Savior. Every day his boys went out there and took wood and just what? Nailed it together. He literally built their Savior in front of their face. A guy's building the church and he sent me a video. He said, Pastor, the first floor is framed out. He sent me a video. And you know what it is? It's not no one singing, no praise. He sent me guys working doing this. Putting wood stuff. He's a preacher and that's what he sent me. Not a sermon. He sent me guys building. Noah preached salvation. He said, judgment's coming. And then he built their salvation in front of their face. They heard it. They saw it. They were invited into it. Noah said, get in the ark because it is about to rain. 600 years. They ignored him. Never went to his church. No one ever gave him an offering. No one ever sold into the building program for the ark. Noah built the ark out of the resources God gave him. Never had a building fund. Never took out a boat loan. Whatever he needed, God supplied it. All Noah and his sons had to do was one thing. Build. Just build it. That's all you got to do. Just build it. So the people can see their salvation. It's right there. In Lot's case, they send the angels. Angels come to Lot's house. And instead of respecting them or reverencing them, as men of God. You know what? Years ago, Paul's here. Paul might remember. We used to come to church. Neighborhood wasn't like it is now. That step, front step, the side step. The OGs would be out from a night of partying, shall we say. They smelled like they had been partying. They looked like they had been partying. And oftentimes they would have remnants of the party in their hands. Oftentimes it was Colt 45. Be in their hand.
We come for church, Dr. Taylor, Les, we all get out of the car. This is what they would do. They're drunk. They've been out partying all night. They would take the liquor bottle, put it behind their backs, stagger to their feet, step down and out of the way, and say, good morning. That's what they did. I'm not making up stuff here. Paul's with enough rats. This is what they did. They weren't saying, but they showed reverence for the woman of God. They didn't come in the church. They didn't sow it. They didn't give an offering. But upon seeing the woman of God, they had enough sense to show honor. This is what the word of God says. The word of God says, touch not my anointing. Do my prophets. Why? Because it'll be hard for you. I'm going to repay you for that. The guy had enough sense to put that bottle behind his back, stagger off to the left, say good morning, and we just one by one go into church. That's what we did. But in Lot's day, they sent angels from heaven who had taken on the form of men so that they could communicate with Lot. And when they saw them, they desired homosexual relationships with them. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. They saw the man of God clothed in human flesh, and they wanted intercourse with them, all a sign that they were failing to watch. How many of us have had a visitation from God? But because we weren't watchful, we missed the hour of his coming. He was right there, presented himself to you. Your God, your Savior. And you missed it all because you failed to watch. That next verse says, and you can almost preach this, if Jesus just said simply this, remember Lot's wife. That's all you got to do. Says, if you don't listen or believe anything I say, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was this far from salvation. All she had to do was take one more step. That's all she had to do. But because she failed in her duty to be watchful, watch this, instead of taking a step forward into salvation, the Bible said she, oh my God, I don't, do with it what you want. She was, you don't understand, she was right. She had already gone out the house. She had already escaped out of the city. She was on her way up to the mountain where God had provided safety. My friends are back there. My family is back there. In front of me is God and safety. Behind me is judgment. Whoever
remained in Sodom, the Bible said it rained fire and brimstone. I don't know what's worse, drowning to death or being burnt to death. No matter how you look at it, it's still what? Judgment. Because they failed curb to watch. He says, whoever seeks to save their life, that's Lot's wife. Lot's wife thought, if I go back, watch this, it won't be as bad as what God said. I can go back. Because even if it is bad, I can manage. Even if it's tough, I can handle a little tough time. That's what she did. She went back. Jesus said, whoever seeks to save their life, gonna lose it. But here's the way out. If you're willing to lose your life, it was a losing proposition because no one knew if the fire would reach the mountain. He just told them to go there. I don't know if you ever watched California. The fire is where? All up the mountainside. Everything getting burnt up. Everything in the mountainside, everything in the valley, everything in the palisade, the city, the hills, all of it on fire. No guarantee you'll be rescued in the mountain. And I'm of the belief if God sends fire, it's going to burn up everything. If God sends fire, it's going to burn up everything. But she had no guarantee. Lot had no guarantee. But the Bible said we walk by. That's what you learn when you watch. You learn to start moving by faith. That's how the people of God do it. Because it is the only way to avoid judgment. The disciples asked, and Curb agreed with them. Jesus keeps talking about being taken away. One taken. Two together at the grind, one taken. Two in the field, one taken. The disciples and Curb said, where? Jesus said this. He said, where you see the birds gathering, whether in the air or on the ground. He said, it's always the same thing. Have you guys ever seen birds gather? Any of you? Gone past roadkill on the highway? Had to slow your car down because there's a dead carcass in the road and what? Birds have gathered. To what? Feed. Listen, here's the sermon. Here it is, Kurt. Birds gather where there has been death and destruction. It's the only time you'll ever see them. Other than that, they stay high in the air. The eagle stays in the nest in the cliff of the mountain. The hawks, they stay in the high branches of the tree. You don't see them. But when judgment comes, this is how you know it comes. The birds gather. Pastor, where are you going with this sermon? Let me be clear. The second coming of Christ is not to be confused with the rapture of the church. We spent a whole time talking about end times. If you didn't participate, that's on you. Because you should know that there is a difference. The rapture of the church, Jesus comes and stays in the air.
and he calls us up. The Thessalonian writer said it best, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And in like manner, so will we all be what? Caught up. Why? Because Jesus is in the air. That's not the second coming. That's the rapture of the church. The second coming of Christ is when Christ will stand physically on the Mount of Olives, bodily, in full display, and establish his earthly kingdom. And at his coming, when he came into Jerusalem the first time, they celebrated. Palms, Hosanna, celebration. But when he comes, Norm, the second time, it is going to be death and destruction on all of the ungodly. And I got the witness to prove it. Revelations 19:21 says this, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. It's referring to Jesus, the second coming, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. Get this. This is it. This ties it. Listen to this. And all the fowl of the air were filled with their flesh. This is in your Bible. Revelations 19:21. If you don't go up in the rapture, judgment is coming. And what he's saying is about this day, when he comes again, Pharisees, to set up his kingdom, he said, number one, when I come, he said, everybody's going to know. It's going to be everywhere. Every channel, the internet, you're going to know it because you're going to see him coming. But when he comes, he won't come with joy and peace. He's coming with a sword for all who refuse to live godly. And God himself is going to take you out. I told you wasn't nobody going to be shouting by the time I got to the end of this. Come next Easter and I preach something better for you. But this is just the word of God. But to avoid it, he said, all you got to do is one thing. Watch. Watch ye, therefore. Because you know not the day nor the hour that the Son of Man liveth. When he's coming back again. Live like he's coming back again. So that Lot's wife's fate is not yours. I don't know if I preached a more significant message than what I preached this Sunday. Come back next Sunday. We'll shout, we'll dance, we'll spin around in a circle. But today I want you to go home recognizing it's your duty. Watch. Because if you fail to watch, I've been telling you all month long, woe be unto you. Woe be unto you. When you should have been praying, you're baking a ham. When you could have been concerned about
Christian hospitality, you were holding a grudge and failing to watch. When you could have been generous and extended God's love to the poor, you heaped up riches for yourself. You failed to watch. When you could have done your duty, the Word of God says we are helpers one of another. Woe be unto you. You see me in need. Turn your back. I told you when I started the series, it's your duty to forgive. Because if you fail to forgive, this is the Word of God. What did the Word of God say? Your Father which is in heaven will fail to forgive you. It's your duty. It's your duty to be thankful for all that God has done for you. Woe be unto you if you fail to say thank you. Woe be unto you, woe be unto me. We let another Easter go by and we fail to watch. We're concerned about everything else. Who's coming over? Where are we going? What are we going to have? What's this? What's that? We're concerned about, just like the people in Noah's and Lot's day. And the more weightier things we let fall by the wayside. Curb, you get it? Yeah. You guys should thank God for Curb. His questions drew it out of me. The disciples' questions drew it out of Jesus. That's why I'm telling you, if you ever seek to get an understanding of the Word of God, He will provide it. God will find you a pastor. He will. Whatever. I know it's true because I've been there. He'll find someone. That Enoch set up in that chariot, the man of God said, do you know? And he said, I have no. Good God. The Bible said he sent Philip. Why? Because the Enoch wanted understanding about the Word of God. He read it, but couldn't understand. God sent him a preacher. Before it was all over, his life was given in Christ. I'm telling you, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, this is what Jesus said. You shall be filled. I'll send you someone. This is what I was alluding to weeks ago when I told you, you don't pick your church. God does. God is going to connect you to a preacher that when they preach, the Holy Spirit will open your ear, and there is a spiritual connection in Zion. That's why you sit there and start crying, because the Holy Spirit is at work. That's why you go home and it's Tuesday and Wednesday and you're still ruminating over the Word of God. Why? The Holy Spirit is at work. He's stirring your gift. He's stirring your understanding. He just had to get you in a place where he could assign someone to you. What will be under you if you pick your own church? I told you, like I told my son, try a couple out. At the end of the day, God's got to choose that. Can't tell you to go to my friend's church. Jamaica can't tell you to go to her girlfriend's church. At the end of the day, tell God, God, give me a place where I can hear from you. I could go to other, but there's so much distractions, I can't hear from God. Taylor, it's your duty to watch. It's your duty to be thankful. It's our duty to forgive. Shall we all stand? Jesus said, what I say to you, I say to everybody. Watch. You don't know the day nor the hour when he's coming again. Hey, here's this. Let me tell you why I like preaching. He gives us, the Bible teaches us that with every temptation, he makes a way for what? Escape. With every judgment, there's a way of what? Escape. Here's the way out. This is, I'll give you this and I'll quit. Revelations 26. He said, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's the rapture of the church. That's the first resurrection of the dead, of which Christ is what? The first fruit. I wish I had a real church. He doesn't laying it down concept upon concept. He says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first. If you watch now, you'll see him in the air. You'll never have to see or face judgment. If you're here this Sunday and you're not sure where you stand with Christ and where you stand with God, I'm telling you today, accept Jesus today as your personal Savior. Because when you do it, you're telling God, I'm watching. Watching for your son. I didn't see him the first time, but when he comes again, when he stands in the air, I want to see him. I want to be caught up to him. If you're here this Sunday and you've never made a choice for Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to come now. Come down to the altar. Come say, Pastor, today, this Easter, I make a choice for Jesus. Today, I start watching for spiritual things. If you're here this Sunday, don't delay. Don't be like Lot's wife. Don't turn around. Come. Come while Christ is calling. Come while the Holy Spirit is beckoning you. That's what you feel. That's what you sense. God is calling you. This is what he said. This is what he said. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I beg you this Sunday, don't play hard to get. Too much is at stake now. Too much is on the line. Why don't you make a choice for Jesus? Pastor, here I'm coming. Excuse me. Let me get in the aisle. This may be my last chance. There's nothing promised. 2 weeks ago, I was reading in my daily devotion in James. They say, do not say what you will do on the morrow. But rather, they said, say this. Say, if it be the Lord's will. Whatever. This is in your mind. That if it's Lord's will, if it's God's plan, purpose for you, then I'll go. Then I'll do. Woe be unto me if I tell God what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's what you're doing. That's what James is trying to get us to understand. When you are that braggadocious about what you're going to do, where you're going to do, who you're going to do it with, you're telling God, I'm your God. I control what's done in my own body. I go where I want, do what I want with whoever I want to do it with. But if you're watchful, that's how you know somebody's watching. And I tell you, the old folks had it right. We laughed at them, but they had it right. Every time they saw, they would always say, be the Lord's will. See you next Sunday. They had it right. They had it right.
That's how they went in service. See you. If it be the Lord's will. See you next Sunday. If it be the Lord's will, I'll be over this Friday to help you clean. If it be the Lord's will. And I'm telling you, it is God's will for you to give your life to Him today. Don't miss this chance. Don't miss this opportunity to start being watchful in the kingdom of God. If you're here, will you come? If you want to make Christ your Savior today, will you come? The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. Turned to salt. As a sign of her hardened heart. He could have done anything. He could have just let her drop dead. Struck her with lightning. But as a sign for the rest of us, he turned her to a pillar of salt so that we could see what a hardened heart gets because she failed to watch. Tell every Sunday, I thank you. Just as I am faithful in preaching, you're faithful in listening. And I'm going to close with this. The Word of God says, be not hearers only, but be doers of the Word of God. So that's my message to you. Do your duty. Forgive. Raise your hand if you took your homework assignment seriously and you went out and forgave someone. You remember that? Remember I told you to go and forgive someone. Right? If you haven't done it, do it now. It's your duty. How many of you spent last week just giving God thanks? Every day, every hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Thank you that I'm here. Thank you for watching over my shoulder. Thank you for making a way. It's your duty. It's your duty. Spend this week watching. Watch for the kingdom of God, which is inside you. You may not believe this, but you're not going to find the kingdom of God at church. It's not there. In you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you, man of God. It's in you. That's where the reign and rule of God is. It's inside of you. God bless you, Taylor. Service back into the hands of our liturgy.
Amen. We thank God for the word. I'm not going to prolong the service, but God said for us to do. Pastor told us that we are to do what God tells us to do. Amen. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have Sister Cassandra McCoy come up and do the offering and the announcements.
Good morning, church. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61, phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side door ramp, one for your tithes and one for your offerings, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. If you would like to give an offering to our pastor, you can also do it via cash or a Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministries. Now to our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to our list. Thank you. Immediately following service, we will have our Easter egg hunt after service. April 27th, planting day at the tabernacle. The pastor is inviting everyone to dress down so we can all work to plant new seeds for the upcoming harvest season. In addition, we'll be firing up the grill for lunch, hamburgers, and hot dogs for everyone. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m., Wednesday night prayer and Bible studies at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet, second through fifth Sundays. And YLE, please don't forget the pastor's challenge. We're going to call our Deacon McCoy up to explain our Easter egg hunt.
Ain't that interesting? We got to have some rules, but I got to give them anyway. Amen. Amen, because we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for our 10 and unders and then our 11 and ups. So one of the things that in here, even though it says LOL, is no fighting, which means no elbowing, no leaning into somebody, no running. Somehow I don't think I'm talking to the 10 and unders. I'm talking to us. So y'all going to have a hunt for the 11 and ups. It's going to be in here all the way up to the third floor. Amen. Amen. Sister Barbara's giving me that look. You don't want to hunt? You ain't got to hunt. But for the rest of us, we're going to hunt. But hey, no leaning, no elbow, no I got it, right? Right? All right, for the little ones, in the backyard is where you're going to have the Easter egg hunt. That's going to be supervised by our Reverend Lyons, our brother Emmanuel, and our sister Lynn Rossiter. Amen? So you guys are going to line up. You're going to go out there with them. Amen. Amen. Now, for those who are doing the Easter egg hunt, you need a grab bag. You're going to line up in the sanctuary, and I guess Sister Alex or Sister Cassandra is going to have a bag for you. Amen. So we're going to let the little ones do what they have to do first, and then we're going to deal with the other folks. Now, with us older peoples, right? There's gold. Is it one golden egg or is it golden eggs? There's golden eggs, which apparently have some special prizes in it. That's why I said no elbowing. Don't see that gold egg. Like, no, that's mine. Amen. Amen. But you've got to search high and low. I believe there's also going to be a prize for whoever gets the most eggs in general, because they're other than golden eggs. Amen. But this is so we can have some fun, enjoy what? Fellowshipping with one another on Resurrection Sunday. Amen. 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 I'm going to call out our pastor because I think we are ready for the benediction. And then we will have the little ones. Where do you want them to assemble? Right here? Before they go outside? You want them over here or you want them over there? Yes, ma'am?
Thank God. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, this is what I remember growing up, and all of it was good for me and for all of us. Hey, our brother Paul's coming around. He's going to hand out a quick flyer regarding next Sunday. Go ahead, Paul, you can hand them out. Go down the road. And I asked him to give out one every other. So everyone doesn't need one, just one every other. Here's the important thing about this flyer. I need you to leave it in the seat. Okay? These flyers are not for you to take home. Hey, Todd, give out some on this side. Yeah. Okay? When you get it, you'll see what it is. It's regarding next Sunday, right? Next Sunday is our big community planting day in the garden, right? And as a part of that, not only are we going to be planting seeds in the garden, we're going to be cleaning the entire neighborhood. Okay? So all of the young guys that are here today, all of our men, I'm going to need you next Sunday. And especially because I will not be here next Sunday. So that's why I'm taking time now to explain. You have the flyer. We're going to get everybody. Men, women, boys, girls, kids. Everybody's going to be in the garden. We're going to be planting seeds. Lynn and David are going to be directing our activities in the garden. In addition, I'm going to be asking all of the men and young men, as we always do, we're going to pick up the trash for this entire block of Osage Avenue, starting at 60th Street and working all the way down to 61st. Then we're going to go across 61st that way and across 61st that way. This is our gift to the community. We're going to pick up the trash, garbage, all of that. We're going to leave it clean. We're going to plant seeds in the garden. We're going to put down fresh mulch as well. And so I need 100% participation. We're going to be firing up the grill next Sunday. So we'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, all of that good stuff going so that we can eat after we have done this assignment in terms of planting seeds and cleaning the neighborhood. Amen. I'll just throw this out there. If you do have a Taylor Tabernacle or Turning the Tide t-shirt or something like that, feel free to wear it so the community can know who we are when they look out their window and say, who's that picking up all this trash? Let them see Taylor Tabernacle. Let them see Turning the Tide. So I encourage you to do that. It is a dress down Sunday. Amen. So dress down, wear your tailor shirt. After service, we're going to jump out in the garden, and we're really going to make a difference in our community. Amen? So again, you have a flyer. Don't take it home, right? My good friend Rob is going to take these flyers, and on next week, he's going to put one in every household. On 61st, Osage, all these. So we need these because we're inviting the neighborhood to join us. Okay, and that's why we need the fire. I just wanted you to see it, know it, remind it, make an image, take a picture of it, whatever you need to do. It is in our email newsletter, but leave it on the chair. We'll gather it up. Thank God for our evangelism team. They're going to distribute it all throughout the week. I'm going to invite the community to come out and join us. Amen. Hey, I want to close with a special announcement. I got to get down the road.
I'm actually performing a wedding ceremony in an hour or so. So I got to get out of here. But I wanted to do this. I'm going to invite our good friend Jerron Felder. I'm going to ask Jerron to come up and join me here in the pulpit. How we looking, Josh? You got my slide up, Josh? It's my man. Come on up, Jerron. Come all the way up, all the way up. Let all the people in the internet church see you. Here it is. Here it is. Big announcement. It's official. Jerron Felder's graduate level thesis titled Navigating U.S. Higher Education for First Year International College Students has finally been published by Westchester University. What's the PA?
Pennsylvania
Authority. Come on. Master level thesis. Wait, stay there. I just want to address my YLE church. He did not do this the night before at 11:15. Would it do at 11:59 or else get zero credit? When you put together a master thesis that is worthy of publication, that means what? You put the work in, right? Now, I ain't saying nothing, because you know the pastor love you, but he didn't just get this in at 11:59. So, all right, let me go ahead and run this. I'm finished. Here it is. Now, stay there. Jerron, this research study aims to answer what is the non-American international college student experience of transition from home country to the United States within a higher education institution, and answers the question, how do non-American international college students navigate adjusting to the social environment within a higher educational institution? That's big time stuff. That's not small stuff. Are you with me? Themes to be explored include language proficiency. How many of you heard me last Sunday when I preached in 7 different languages? Right? Look at somebody and say, preach, Pastor Ford. 7 different languages. Here it is. Here, language, domestic student support, psychological stress. Say that word.
Acculturation.
Thank God for Jesus. Jerron said, I have dedicated my thesis to international college students who are often overlooked, misunderstood, and just perceivably different than traditional American students attending college or university in the United States. I acknowledge God, my family, professor, watch this, pastor, academic advisors, and staff who have supported me throughout my entire academic career. Come on now. Come on. Give it to him. He's earned it. He's earned it. You give it to him. He's earned it. Come on now. He earned this. You know Jerron. He earned it the old-fashioned way. He went out there and he did it. And to God be the glory. Father in heaven, we thank you. Not just for Jerron, not just for our young people, but we thank you for your son. Gave his life for us. Rose again on the 3rd day that we might have the victory
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, go with us. Stand by us. Give us the courage and the strength to fulfill our duty, that we might hear you say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of our Lord. People of God, say amen. Amen. Amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor. Everybody shake Jerron's hand.